Welcome to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping Orange County, with your host, Don Camber.
Hello, live from the OC Talk Radio studios at UCI's Beale Applied Innovation Center. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Don Camber with another great guest impacting our community in a positive way. Today, I welcome Second Harvest Food Bank of Orange County Chief Executive Officer Claudia Keller. She was previously the Chief Mission Officer. The organization's goal is to end hunger in Orange County. Thank you, Claudia, for being on Impact OC.
Thanks for having me here, Dawn. It's great to be here.
Claudia, I understand you're dedicated to collecting food at your distribution facility at the Great Park in Irvine, then shipping it to your partner network for distribution to 282 food pantries. Please go over the process.
Sure. So the food bank is just that. We are the provider of food for our network of pantries and food distribution centers. Those pantries can be churches, synagogues, mosques, schools, senior living centers, centers for the unhoused. They can be a whole variety of nonprofit organizations that are looking to take care of folks in need throughout the county. We purchase food, we collect food from donations, and we also grow our own food. We can probably talk about that a little bit later. And we collect them in our distribution center. We have over 100,000 square feet of warehouse and distribution center in the Great Park in Irvine. Our pantry network then places orders for the food that they need, the quantities that they need, the delivery schedule that they need. And we provide that food much like a supermarket distribution center does for its branches around the communities that they serve. So it's a pretty cut and dry process. The big difference is, of course, we are a nonprofit, so we need to raise money to be able to buy the food, pay for the drivers, keep up the facility, and pay for our staff. So we have been in business for 39 years, and we have been at the Great Park of Irvine since 2009, serving all of Orange County out of that particular distribution center.
So you say you collect food via different food drives, then you pay for it, and then you grow it. Let's talk about food drives. What percentage is from which one?
Sure. So right now we're about 50-50 purchased and 50-50 donated. The donated food can come from manufacturers that choose to donate pallets or truckloads of food, and that can be places like supermarkets, big box warehouses like Sam's Club or Costco, or manufacturers themselves and produce companies. We also get donated product from people around the county. Since COVID, however, our operation has become so large scale, we've literally doubled distribution since 2019, that we have become a pallet and forklift operation. However, those donations that folks around the county choose to make go literally straight from their office or their home or their school to one of our pantry locations, and we facilitate that distribution. What it does is improve efficiency. It also extends the shelf life of the food because it doesn't have to come back to our warehouse, wait to be processed, and then go back out.
Are you saying that the various pantries that collect your food, those are also places that will collect food from the public?
Exactly. And we have a list at the food bank online, or if you call, and we can tell you if you'd like to take the food directly yourself, where to go that's most convenient for you.
What is the website?
www.feedoc.org.
So in order to do this, do you have staff or do you have volunteers or a combination?
We have a combination of staff and volunteers. You can imagine that COVID really disrupted that volunteer operation. However, literally when the pandemic hit, we went from 29,000 volunteers a year to zero almost overnight, right when the need was kicking up. Today, we do have volunteers back at the distribution center that help us process primarily produce, take it from big bushels and down into bags that are a little bit easier for our pantries and our clients to deal with. And we also have a great need for volunteers at our farm. We supply the labor to our farm. That's what keeps that product affordable to us. And it's a great outdoor experience for folks as well to work on a farm and harvest some cabbage or some celery or some broccoli these days.
Are those the only things that are on that farm?
Right now they are. We just started the farm in the summer of 2021, and we got our feet wet with cabbage, a whole lot of cabbage. And we've expanded a little bit into broccoli and celery. Those are the seasonal crops. This spring, we look forward to planting all kinds of squash, cucumbers, bell peppers, corn, really whatever seasonal, which is a lot in Southern California. And we're very happy to be working with our agricultural partner, Solutions for Urban Agriculture, and the University of California.
So where is it located?
It's over at the South Coast Regional Extension Center up on Irvine Boulevard, which is part of the UCANR complex. So they provide the land. Our farmer at Solutions for Urban Agriculture provides the knowledge. And we provide the volunteers. So it's a wonderful private-public partnership that benefits the community by placing locally grown produce at a food bank within hours, and that food goes out to pantries and to clients literally within days.
So the way it works is you have your volunteers, they go and they collect the food that's actually in the ground, then it gets to the distribution center, then it is sent to the 282 pantries.
Exactly. Not only do they harvest, they plant and they weed and they harvest. So depending on how often you come back, you can watch your cabbage seedling go from teeny tiny to a 5-pound head of cabbage.
Now, the volunteers, do you have like Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, different kinds of groups that help out?
We do. We have lots of different service organizations, houses of worship, a lot of corporate groups. I will tell you that lately the corporate groups have been postponing their shifts because of Omicron, and that's made it a little bit difficult for us because we do need that labor at the farm in big groups of 10, 20, 30, and 40. So we're hoping that February becomes an easier month in terms of the pandemic and that that gets folks out volunteering at the farm. It's great in a, quote, post-COVID world because you get to be outside as well.
Now, the need, you said, has been great because of COVID.
Yes, yes. We know that in the first year of the pandemic, we distributed about 29 million pounds of food. In this year just ended, this calendar year, we've distributed close to 60 million. So the need has been staggering in this county.
And who is getting your food?
So we continued through the pandemic and through today to serve, I guess, the original people that we were serving before the pandemic, which is about 249,000 food insecure individuals living in poverty, working low-wage service jobs. That surged during the pandemic. It surged in numbers at the high point to over 600,000, if you can believe that, in a county this affluent. But the makeup of that group changed as well. We started to see folks that were, you know, middle-class folks that had steady jobs, owned homes, had families, but quite frankly might have been living 3 to 4 paychecks away from getting in a food line. And when COVID came and pulled the rug out from so many, it was those folks that had to get into a food line for the first time in their lives.
So the food makes its way to the pantry, and how does that happen? And then what happens when it gets to a pantry and then into the hands of those who need it?
Sure. So we have a fleet of trucks that does the lion's share of the transportation of the food to the pantry network to points all around Orange County. There are a few partners that perhaps smaller partners or with special needs that will come to the food bank to pick up. So it works both ways. That gets to pantry sites, and pantry sites can be as small as a closet or as large as a small, corner shop or small market. And many of these pantries also get food from other sources or buy food. The different pantries serve different communities, and there generally is not an application. As long as you need food and you show up at one of our pantries, they will provide food. When we had to distribute food during the pandemic directly to the community, as we did at Honda Center for almost 16 weeks, it was the same thing. We didn't judge. We didn't ask. If you needed food and you waited in line, we gave you food.
And when you gave them food, did you just have a preset bag of food to give them, preset boxes? How does that work?
Sure. So prior to the pandemic, we were and we are advocates of the choice model. We feel that giving people the opportunity to pick their own food and choose their own food is the most dignified way to distribute food, even in an emergency. However, none of us had ever experienced an emergency like COVID, where we had to socially distance and we couldn't touch the same thing. So we as a society developed methods, the most visual really was the food box. And food boxes came from the federal government as well as the state of California here. And these food boxes, some of them had perishable items like produce and milk and dairy, and some of them had shelf-stable non-perishable, and some of them had mixed boxes. So that became the safest way to distribute folks food to folks, putting the boxes in their trunk, shutting their trunk, and waving them off.
But how do you know how much they need?
Well, that was some of the things we had to figure out. We had rules of one car, one box, or one car, two boxes, one of perishable, one of non-perishable. We had to make those decisions to be as fair and equitable as we could, to keep the line moving, and to distribute the food as efficiently as we could.
And it was the volunteers that was handing out the food, correct?
Oh, my God. We had 300 volunteers each Saturday, two shifts of 150. These folks did everything from direct traffic to load cars to, move the food to the
point. And we're talking at the Honda Center right now.
At the Honda Center. Right. If you've ever been and you can imagine that parking lot, that back lot, at the high point, I believe we had close to 6,000 cars. The funny thing is when we started in that first weekend, we had fewer cars and it took us like 7 hours. By the end of it, we got so efficient with it that we were processing, 4,000 cars in 2 hours. So we really got quite efficient at distributing the food and the different lanes and how we distribute it. And the people that were there also understood how it worked. So while at the end we were quite proud of ourselves, how efficient we became at the food distribution, it was still bittersweet that we had to do it at all. And that was, I think, the hard and the human part when it was all done.
Are you still doing it there?
We are not. The pantry network, which about 40% of our pantries went down in March of 2020, for the same things that we experienced, lack of volunteers, lack of PPE, supply chain issues. When we realized that 40% of our pantries were going down just when the need was starting to surge, we had to become that safety net. So we did that for as long as we had to. In the course of those 15, 16 weeks, we talked to our pantries. Pantries that were big enough to absorb more food, we pushed more food to them. We really believed that it was easier for people to collect food and access emergency food in their community. We did the Honda Center in Anaheim because it was central. But it wasn't ideal for folks to be driving from South County or even points outside the county to be accessing food. So as soon as we could, we pushed the food distribution, that same volume of food, but out into community to make it easier for everyone.
So how does it work when it gets to the pantry? Is there certain days of the week that people can go in those respective areas to get the free food?
Sure. Every pantry is different, but when you apply to be a second harvest pantry, you have to have a set schedule of distribution, whether it's 3 days a week, every Saturday. It has to be something predictable that folks can access. So we have that for all our pantries, and so does 211, the county's emergency helpline. So we know that all of our pantries have a set distribution schedule. They determine their level of inventory and how often they get inventory from us. So that determines how often and how many. But we know we partner with them. For example, now that we're distributing food from the farm, they need more refrigerated space. So we're working with them to help get them those refrigerators, either walk-in or small scale. It doesn't matter how much produce we push out. If they can't handle it, it's all for naught. So it's a very kind of hand-in-hand partnership with each distribution point to make sure that the food is getting out quickly and safely to those that need it the most.
The shopping bottle, is that in existence at any of the pantries right now?
It is where it can be, right? And we leave that up to the pantry operator. I've started to see it more at some college pantries because Second Harvest does have a pantry at 14 of the major colleges in the county. There are still some distribution, some public distributions going on with the boxes, so it's a bit of a mixed bag. As soon as we can come out of this and as soon as it is safe, we will continue to push that choice model because, again, we do feel it is the most dignified way to give folks access to food. They can pick the healthy food that they want, and we minimize waste that way as well.
Now, when we talk about donating food, you're saying the best thing they can do is go to a food pantry and donate into one of their barrels. Isn't that correct?
That is the best way, the most efficient way to donate food. People always ask me, what can I donate to the food bank? the reality is that when you donate food to a food bank, that's going to go out and that's great. When you donate financially to a food bank, we're going to stretch your dollar and probably get at least twice as much as you could at your supermarket, because we are getting it straight from manufacturers where we can negotiate price.
So what kinds of things are in the food boxes that the people get?
Sure. So today, the produce boxes are really beautiful, actually. They're all front-of-life produce, things like celery and onions. You get some real common fruit we call the hard seven, so apples, oranges, potatoes, sweet potatoes, things that have a long life. In a non-perishable box, what's common to find is canned protein, so your tuna, your chicken. We want to provide the elements of a healthy diet, so it's important to provide, in addition to that fresh produce, to provide those healthy proteins, healthy grains. As much as possible, we try to provide whole grain pastas as opposed to the semolina or the wheat pasta. At the food bank, we are also sourcing food that is, we check the sodium, we check the added sugar, we check whether the fruit is packed in syrup versus water or juice. So we really are trying to provide that healthy balance of food. We're not trying to police what people eat. You know, we believe in choice. But we also know that when you're on a fixed income, that especially if you have children, it is difficult. I'm a mom. I know how hard it was to get my son to eat a healthy diet. I can imagine that moms out there that might be struggling or are on a fixed income, they struggle the same way. We are one of the few food banks that delivers each week to our network eggs and milk. We have made that commitment to purchase that product week in and week out. Now, sadly, that is what inflation has hit the hardest right now, is milk and eggs. So it really is a boon to our families to have that those eggs and that milk available to them whenever they go into their local pantry. And that's a commitment that we've made. Our price has gone up, but we remain steadfast in our commitment to do whatever it takes to provide the elements of a healthy diet.
Well, how are you funded?
So we are very fortunate to be operating in a community of very generous people. So individuals here in Orange County stepped up during the pandemic in ways that none of us could have imagined. And that allowed us to buy those initial loads of protein and milk and eggs. Being able to buy the food also allowed us to really see that we control the nutritional content of what we put out into the community. And we communicated that to our donors, whether they were individual, whether they were foundations, or whether they were companies. I mean, the corporate and civic community in this county have been wonderful. But we share with them, your dollars allow us to buy healthy food, milk, eggs, healthy grains, lean proteins. It's really important that our donors know that not only are they feeding people, but they're nourishing people, and they are helping lift people out of poverty. They are helping lift people back to where they were before the pandemic. I think a lot of us, myself included, before I went into food banking, we took for granted what a healthy diet meant. But once you don't have it and you have to power yourself through your day, it really becomes evident that food is foundational for anyone's success.
Give us the website if people want to help.
www.feedoc.org. If you want to give, if you want to volunteer, that's where you go.
Thank you, Second Harvest Food Bank of Orange County Chief Executive Officer Claudia Keller, for being on Impact OC. And I thank everyone for tuning in. I'm OC Talk Radio Public Affairs Director Dawn Camber. Have an impactful day.
You've been listening to Impact OC, the only program showcasing the people and organizations shaping our community. Right here on Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio.